anyway, I painted Mary again. I made her silver, so now
I thought her name was Barbara.
That's the wife. I'm talking my real love, Mary.
Hold on, guys. We got a call coming in.
Damn it.
Hello, caller. You're on air with RC Hangar Time.
Oh, I thought I was calling the RC Today Show.
No, this is RC Hangar Time. This is Blender Boy.
Oh, Blender Boy. Oh, you're that heli guy, aren't you?
Yeah. You remember me from last week, right?
I remember you, yeah. I finally got out of the pokey.
You got it.
And I'm Badger.
Badger?
And we got John and Paul here with us today. We've just been doing another show.
What are we talking about tonight? No, I was asking. What are y'all asking about or talking about tonight?
Helicopters.
Airplanes.
Airplanes. I got an airplane question for you. That's why I was calling the Today Show, because I know Bobby on there. He's smart. I don't know about you all.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, but no, I got this problem here. Paul, maybe you can help me. I've seen some of your aeroplanes on the Facebook page.
Well, and, sure try, Rusty.
Aeroplanes.
What? You talking? No. Make fun of my talking?
Oh, no, sir. No, sir. Not at all. Never make fun of a caller.
Yeah, I'll come bust you one. I'll pop a cap in your ass. Anyways, as I was saying, I've been flying them nitro planes for a while now. Anyway, I got a buddy. He gave me this new motor to put on a plane. I got this new real purdy looking plane, and her name's Bertha. And needed a new motor for it, so he gave me this weird round thing and called it an electric motor.
Ah.
I've not seen an electric motor before, but I got it nailed up to the plane really good. And I don't know where to put the fuel. I can't put the damn hose anywhere.
What kind of nails did you use?
Oh, just 8-penny. I don't want the motor falling off.
You must have a really thick firewall.
It's so thick, you don't want to touch the backside of it. You'll poke yourself.
Well, that's not good, Rusty, because then your batteries are going to hit the pointy end.
Batteries?
For what? Batteries. You said it was one of them electric motors, right?
Electric. Okay, so where's the cord go? You won't fly very far, would you?
Well, you should have three little wires coming out of that motor.
Oh, yeah, I saw those.
Yes?
Where do you stick them?
Well, you have to plug those into your ESC, or electronic speed controller.
Electronic speed controller.
Do you have one of those, Rusty?
No, I don't. Like I said, all I've been flying is nitros. And I got lots of servos that work as a throttle. How do you hook that up?
Well, you're going to have to plug the three wires from your motor into the three wires to your ESC, and then the receiver connection goes into your receiver, and then you plug your LiPo into your high gauge battery input wires. LiPo, lithium polymer.
Ooh, isn't that a drug? Makes you feel good, don't it?
Yes, schizophrenics take that.
That's what I thought. There's a place that's got a well full of lithium water. That's some of the best water to drink.
I'm sure it is.
Tasty.
Does it leave a metal taste in your mouth afterwards?
I've never tried it, but I wanted to. Make some good old sweet tea out of it.
Well, you let us know how that goes.
Okay, well, I'll see if I can find me one of them ESCs you were talking about and the LiPo.
That's right.
We'll go from there. If I have any questions, I'll call you back. Because, Mike, I know you changed your number, but look, I found it again.
I know. I don't know how you found it.
Anyways, y'all, I need to get going.
Yeah. Have a good one, Rusty. If you have any more questions, I'm sure you'll find us.
Hopefully, I will.
Welcome to RC Hangar Time, a weekly RC aviation podcast.
All right, welcome to episode number 33 of RC Hangar Time. This week we've added a new host. This guy is Jonathan Bard. Why don't you give us a little bit about yourself, John, and tell the listeners, you know, what you do and where you're from and that, all that good stuff.
All right. Jonathan Bard. I'm from Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, really close to Harrisburg, Gettysburg, Hershey area. I've been working in the radio control or been playing in the radio controlled industry since I was probably 13. Started with planks, but finally saw the light and upgraded to helis as well. Now I'm also messing around with turbines and quads. But for career side, I have a financial planning practice. And also, I've been in the Air Force for 13 years as a crew chief on the C-130s. But just loving the hobby and really, just enjoy helping people and talking about it. It's like everybody says, it's not a profession. It's a drug, this hobby is.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and that's one of the main reasons why we decided to add you on was your heli experience and your turbine experience to, add some more to the show and help out with more heli content.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, fellas. I'm looking forward to this.
No problem. And we also got Carl with us. What's up, Carl?
Not too much. Doing quite well. And actually had some reasonable weather for the weekend. It cleared out from the rain and gave me a little bit of a break. So, pleased about that.
Nice. So you got in some flying then?
I did.
Did you get the gasser up and going yet?
The gasser's been up and going. I've been putting a lot of time on that. It's just nice to have the time in the air to just work on things. But I didn't have time to get out to the club field, so I was just flying the Protoss around yesterday.
Nice. Still rocking the Protoss, huh?
Yeah, I love that thing. It's so durable. Practice autos on it all day long, tipping it over, driving the tail in the ground. Nothing ever really breaks on it.
Nice. Yeah, a guy at our local field just showed up with a Protoss the other day. That was the first time I've seen one in person.
And they're quiet, eh?
Yeah, I was really surprised. Another guy had a Warp 360, too. That thing was quiet, too. Speaking of quiet helis, I was very shocked. And then we got Wade with us. What's going on, Wade? Yeah? What you been up to?
Crashing.
Yeah. What went down?
Wooden things let go. So I've realized that I'm really glad that I ordered my Precision Aerobatics airplane with carbon fiber.
Yeah.
But basically, don't try to pull like 38 Gs like on a Balsa airplane that's not designed to do it.
Man, that's an expensive airplane, dude.
No, it's good.
So you limit yourself to 37 and a half?
No, we said 25 Gs.
Okay.
25 Gs. Well, that's reasonable.
Yeah. But basically, we overpowered it. It was a Super Tiger 91. Found out the fuel that it likes, put a 12x8 prop on it, let it hit literally like top RPM. And it was a wooden master air screw. And the thing just went. I mean, you guys saw the videos. I don't know if you saw the videos, but if not, I'll post it on there. But I was coming out of a dive. Doppler radar said about 160 on the phone because we have those little phone apps.
Mm-hmm.
And they've proven to be pretty accurate within 10 miles an hour.
Right.
And hit about 160 out of a dive, and it never came out of the dive. Basically ripped the wing straight off of it. It nosed into the ground about 16 inches, and it became a pile of toothpicks.
I bet that made a thud.
Oh, yeah. There's people across the field, across the street, that looked up.
What was that?
So you didn't get this on video?
No. It was one of those days where I just wanted to go out and fly. My buddy Tim and my buddy John were out there, and we were kind of just taunting each other.
That's
man.
When you should have had the cameras rolling.
Yeah, I know. What's what?
The shoestring's kind of like a pylon, right?
Yeah, it's an old vintage style, like one of the earlier pylon racers. And
right.
God, she handled really good. I mean, you can see in the videos, you'll see how quick she is to snap on ailerons and just tracks very well. Like I was doing lateral 360s, just bank and yank turns, and I'd have to put zero input on rudder and it would just hold that line all day long. But now she holds a trash bag open.
With, I'm sure there's missing parts all over the field.
No, we got them all up because it's a public field, so we want to make sure it's nice and clean. It hit at an angle, so we just basically had to fill in the dirt and then push the grass back down. It literally peeled almost 12 inches of grass, like a piece of sod. I got the photos of it. I'll post them up. My buddy Tim just texted them to me, so I'll post up the pictures of the hole in the 120-foot debris field.
Need to get some of that divot repair stuff.
Yeah. So it was pretty eventful. So then I felt sorry for myself and went out yesterday and bought one of those little archers from Park Zone.
Nice.
That's where I was just flying it. I was out flying it, did the maiden flight, got that on video, and it flies pretty good.
What engine did you put in that?
In what?
The Archer.
It's a little foamy. I come ready to fly, basically, bind and fly.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of the, they've got another one that's meant for the 10cc gas. One I was thinking of.
I'm staying away from the glow stuff. I tend to get a little crazy. If it's a 60 size, I want a 90. If it's a 30 or 40 size, I want a 90.
You don't mod out your electrics?
I do. Just every time I get into speed, for some reason, it doesn't end well.
That's usually the synopsis for anybody.
So, what was it? I put a 3,400 kV motor and ran it on a 4S with a 4x4 prop on my little home-built Dart.
4x4 prop?
Yeah, it was doing, like, on the what are those things called where you shoot it into the prop, it tells you how fast it's going?
Tachometer?
Yeah. On the tachs, it was telling me 38,800 RPMs.
I can't imagine what your tip speed was on that.
Yeah, I don't even want to know. It was crazy. But I put that one into the dirt, so I figured no more.
Yeah. So, are you going to go fast with the Bandit?
No, the Bandit's set up on a 4-cell. So it'll have the ability to go, but I'm going to do just aerobatics and 3D with it. And it's super light. Got all the carbon fiber stuff. So, the build will begin tomorrow.
Yeah, those are sexy. Did you get it already?
No, it's sitting 20 miles away from my house. That was at 2:30 in the morning on Friday. So it'll be here Monday for sure. The build will begin, and there shouldn't be too much to it because I think everything's like pre-hinged, pre-covered. So
yeah, you just got to put it together and wire all your electronics in.
Yeah, it better be for damn $750.
They are. I had a PA plane, and it was already hinged and everything. All you had to do was, you know, do your motor mount and put your electronics in, servos, and there is going to be a little bit of cutting for the servos and stuff, but nothing major.
I'm good with that. This will be my first balsa build, though, like full, like anything putting the balsa together, because the shoestring was used. That was donated to me by a good friend.
I just can't get into stick building planes.
No, it's not really fun for me.
Yeah.
I love building. I just have no interest in the sticks.
Yeah, I haven't gotten out and done much this week. It's been raining off and on. I did do a bunch of flying over the weekend, though, since it was the holiday weekend and out there, you know, Sunday, Monday, Saturday, every day. But since then, it's been raining off and on. But I have been doing a little bit of work on the website and some other stuff for RC Hangar Time. So got some new stuff in the works. So that'll be up and ready soon. Anyway, should we get on to some news?
And now, from RC Hangar Time's News Center, it's time for news.
Oh, I have my mic muted again.
Oh, thanks.
Freaking moron. I'm sitting there talking, and you guys are talking over me, and I was like, you guys are dicks.
We didn't hear a word.
He's like, Wade's gone, and I was like, shit, button. Because my screen is touchscreen, and I forgot that I used that.
Nice.
Anyways, whatever.
All right.
Anyways, John was and I were talking about getting the KA-8, the free flight glider, mm-hmm. from Horizon Hobby, or Park Zone. But our biggest conundrum was, what are we gonna tow it with? So, I mean, that same day we came home to an email and eFlight released the Carbon Z Cub.
Nice.
And I don't know if you guys have seen this thing, but it's sick. It's really cool.
Cool. Is it new then?
Yeah, it's brand spanking new. It's not even out yet. They just released all the information on it. But it's running a 15x15 prop.
Mm.
50 size brushless motor. 22.2 volt 6S 3200 milliamp LiPo. And wingspan? The wingspan, 84.6 inches.
Nice.
Jeez.
That's gonna, I was looking at that, and that's bigger than my Hangar 9 Cub.
Yeah, the tires are huge, too.
Nice.
So we found our tow plane. Starting plug and play, 379. I cannot remember. I want to say 419. I was on the plug and play version of it. The BNF basic is 399.
That's not a bad deal.
No.
No, you're going to have to buy that like $200 battery, but
what's the shipping going to be on a plane of that size though?
Nothing. As long as you call, and this is kind of a, I'm just going to throw it out there. Just call Horizon Hobby up and place the order over the phone and say like, dude, what the heck is up with the shipping? And they usually waive the shipping for you.
So what size battery was that going to run off? 6S, I imagine?
6S 3200.
Oh, that's...
That's like what I run in my 500.
Well, it has some other cool optional accessories. They've got a float set, a camera mount for like a GoPro, and a tow release.
Sweet.
And you need to watch the video on it because the guy's doing like 3Ds, like hovering it. Doing like, it's got AS3X in it, so it's got the AR635 in it.
Nice.
And it's foam.
Oh, boy.
Very cool.
Nice. Did you have some news, John?
Yes, thank you. Wanted to mention to anybody over here on the East Coast, seems like I'm the only one over here, from you guys anyways. We're having a big jet rally here in Hamburg, Pennsylvania, called the Jet Jamboree. Went to it last year. There was over 100 pilots there. I'm very close to 100 pilots, just a ridiculous amount of jets, and it's a really good time. I wanted to make sure everybody was aware of that. That's going to be, was that October 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th, weather pending, of course. But then as far as something neat, I don't know if you guys follow this open source RC. This fellow in Sicily has been designing and manufacturing his own transmitter and receiver assembly, and it's leaps and bounds technology-wise and what it should be doing way far above what we have available to us today. And he's hoping to have it in production within a year. But the website's os-rc.com. Highly recommend you guys check it out. He just recently put out an update of what's going on with it, and he's really breaking some good ground there. And I think it's going to be the next great transmitter people are going to go for. It makes the 18MZ from Futaba look like a pocket calculator.
Nice.
Yeah. What was it called again?
The website?
You're talking about the 18MZ. What was making it look like a calculator, pocket calculator?
This new transmitter from this open source RC website. This fellow's building. He lives in Sicily. He manufactures his own 3D printers, and then he's an electronics engineer. He also designed this amazing radio control transmitter and receiver set, and unlimited channels, limited simply by the amount of accessories and programming put into this thing. He said to the airplanes and the flying hobby types, he said, of course, there's a limited amount of channels that you'll ever want. But he said, like robots, he said, it's unlimited potential. And, you start putting in some wild mixes in there for the robots or, UAVs, as the case might be. And it's just a really impressive device. Even the sticks have little motors in them. So if, say, you Wade or Mike, you guys know some new way to do a neat pyro or something you want to train to somebody, well, you can record it with your radio, download the payload into this new radio, and the sticks will actually move the motions that you just did so somebody can kind of feel it as you're doing it.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, total trick. Total trick. No potentiometers on the sticks. They're all, what do they call it, inductive? Magnetic induction, I guess it is.
Now, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it looks cool. It doesn't look like one of these things out of Europe, that the jet guys use. It's like 2 feet wide. No, it's about a normal size transmitter.
Nice.
That's freaking cool.
Yeah. I'll put a link up here for it.
Sounds good.
Red Wing RC.
Yeah.
You should be seeing some stuff from them here soon, coming through our way. But they do have it's basically a design scheme contest. So you can design your own airplane. Mine's posted up. on there, so everybody go vote, or I'll never talk to you again.
Until I draw mine, because I'm working on one too, and you're going to cry.
And I did like it, until my wife said it looks like the Miami Dolphins color.
Oh.
And your daughter colored it with crayons?
Shut up. It was markers.
Oh, okay.
Get it right. Oh, yeah, did you see that ready-made, what is it, ready-made RC? Anybody places orders for stuff if you guys are big into FPV. You place orders every so many dollar value, every couple hundred dollars. He's giving away free airplanes with his kit or with the orders if you ordered dollars. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I'll check that out. I always got my FPV stuff from Ready Made.
Yeah, that guy's got a great thing going over there.
Yeah, for sure. And the last thing I just wanted to mention was the accident in Brooklyn, and give our condolences to the Pirojek family. Roman Pirojek was a team pilot for a line, and he ended up, I guess, getting hit by his own helicopter on, what was that, Monday or Tuesday? It's not earlier this week anyways, mm-hmm. And he ended up losing his life. Just remember, stay careful, be safe, do pre-flight checks, and you know, keep it at a good distance from you.
Yeah.
That's a very, very sad and tragic event that happened. He was only 19 years old.
Yep.
So, I do believe he just flew at IRCHA, too.
Yeah, I think so.
I believe it was on the AMA that reported. That was, what, the only second reported death due to a heli crash in history?
Yeah.
In the United States.
In the United States, okay.
Yeah, there's been two deaths this year.
Wow.
Yeah, there was another one in Europe, just recently too, like a couple months ago. And he was flying by himself too, so that's pretty sad.
That'd be terrible. Somebody have to find him.
Yeah.
You don't wish that on anybody.
Nope. Yeah, so just keep it safe. Fly safe. Do pre-flights. Keep it at a safe distance. And well, there's definitely a danger to it. Or you don't do pre-flight.
And don't say watch this.
Yes.
Famous last words.
All right, that's all for news. Should we move on to our guest for this week?
All right, you're listening to RC Hangar Time. For more information, please check out our website, www.rchangartime.com. You can also check us out on Facebook. Just search RC Hangar Time.
All right, so this week we have Dan Reed with us. Dan Reed is, most of you might know him from RC Heli Nation. He runs another show over there, and we thought we'd get him on and get to know Dan a little bit more. How's it going, Dan?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Thanks for coming on. Glad to have you on. It's probably feel a little bit different coming on and being a guest rather than doing your own thing.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. Usually it's the other way around.
Right. So what? Give us a little bit of background about you, you know, where you're from and what you're flying and what got you into flying and that kind of stuff.
Well, I live in Montana, and there's only like three or four of us in the whole state that fly helicopters that I'm aware of.
Maybe like five people that live there total?
Yeah, I think somewhere in that neighborhood. I started flying helicopters. I actually did do planks for a while. I quickly grew bored of them and decided that I needed to try helicopters, but it was at a different time. I did planes several years ago, 15 years ago. And just at that particular time, I just had bigger and better things to do, so I didn't really stick with it. Late 2008, I decided to try helicopters again. The timing was right, and I got into it big time. First helicopter I owned was a JR Vibe 50 Nitro.
Nice. Was this before or after gyros?
It was after.
So you had the gyros and all that?
Back in the day, back then it was the Align GP 750s were the big gyro that everybody was using, and the Spartans were just kind of starting to kick in. A lot of people were still using the 401 Futabas, and you know, there were a couple other big brands, but Spartan was kind of the king of the hill back then. But I just bit hard and started flying every day, crashing every day. I needed to immerse myself in the hobby. That started with forums.
Mm-hmm.
Just couldn't get enough of the forums. I'm sure we've all been there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Watched every Finless Bob video ever made, probably 10 So.
Yeah, you kind of have to when you first get into helis. I mean, without those videos, I think we would all be lost.
Yeah, and that was back when we were trying to figure out how to do with, you know, with the fly bars and the intricate head setups came along with those. And I'm a big fan of another podcast. Back then it was called All Things That Fly. You guys might have heard of Chris and James do their own show now called RC Today.
Mm-hmm.
Just listen to those guys all the time. And I was happened to hang out at the Heli Freak chat room. I don't know if you guys are aware, but there's an applet chat room that they have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same group of guys hang out there, used to anyway. I have since been uninvited from Heli Freak, but that's a whole other story. But anyway, I used to hang out there all the time. There was a kid that did another show. Dicey is his name. He did a show called RC Freak Podcast. And he was doing it solo, and he needed some guys. And he kind of kept asking around. And one day I said, yeah, I can give that a shot if you want me to. And one thing led to another, and that's how I started doing it. And that lasted for a while. And I always had this sneaking suspicion that I could do a show a little bit better. So I rounded up a crew of a couple guys and got to kind of help with the web stuff, and another guy from Scotland and a couple guys from the UK, and RC Heli Nation was born. That didn't last very long. The egos kind of collided pretty quickly.
Yeah, this was RC Heli Nation version 1.
Yeah, it was simply known as RC Heli Nation back then. We added the version 2 after all that went downhill. I kind of stepped back from the hobby for about almost a year. Had
really?
a lot of people asking me to, hey, are you ever going to do that podcast again? And I thought, nah, I don't think so. And a friend who at the time was an acquaintance, but since has become a very good friend, Rob Boyd, got in touch with me and got to talking to me about it. And he kind of kept bringing it up, kind of got me flying again. And after about 4 months of working on pilot episodes and trying to develop a synergy, a good working relationship where we kind of knew each other well enough to maintain conversation and have a good time doing it, we decided to go ahead and release shows. And nice. That was the birth of our RC Nation version 2.0. Cool. And we just released our 101st episode last week. We recorded 102 this week, and we're still undecided whether or not we're going to release that episode, but
every Monday. It's a good one.
Well, it's an emotionally driven episode. It's a departure from anything that we've ever done.
Mm.
There's just some considerations that we as a group need to make before we decide to actually release it. Deals a lot with the recent events in Brooklyn and various other comments that have been made, whether on the forum or privately. And we just kind of dig into that mentality. And it's going to offend a lot of people, I'm sure. Some people are going to agree with it. I'm sure of that. And some people are going to tell us we had no business talking about it. I'm sure of that as well.
Yeah.
That's usually, but you do.
What's that?
What? I said, but you do.
Well, you got to. You know, you can't come to the microphone week in and week out and not be yourself, especially after 100 and some episodes.
Right.
And you can't fake who you are. Well, I can't. Not for 2 hours a night when we record, And when your group, your guys, your crew are passionate about something and really feel like something needs to be said, you know, you do it, and you do it wholeheartedly. And sometimes that offends people, and other times it comes across as you intended it to.
Yeah. More or less the truth hurts, right?
Yeah. I don't even know if it's truth, because it's opinion. It's
true.
Emotion. It's my perspective and Nick's the other guys, Nick and Justin and Jesse. It's their perspective.
Yeah,
it's the right perspective, but it's our perspective, and that's really what it's all about. But that's the whole RCHN history in a nutshell. As far as me, I right now I'm flying I got Alliance. I've got JRs. I've got Raptors. I've got Goblin. Mostly Nitro. Recently, I've decided to try out some electrics. I got a Goblin and just recently got an airframe for an Align 700.
Nice. How are you liking that Goblin?
You know, I really like that little helicopter. I do. I had a listener get in touch with me, new to the hobby, decided his first helicopter was going to be a Goblin 500. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to him on Skype, giving him a mouthful of crap because he'd had this helicopter for months. And he kept telling me, oh, yeah, I got this Goblin. Finally, I'm just like, dude, send it. I mean, you're not flying it. Send it to me. What's the deal? I'll get it flying for you. I'll get it tuned in. I'll send it right back. He says, are you serious? I said, yeah. And he said, oh, by the way, don't worry. I listened to your guys' episode about who pays for the crash. And he said, I got the crash. And I said, yeah, don't worry about that. We're not gonna go. I spoke. I put that heli in pretty hard.
Oh, man.
But I did get it all tuned in. Got to play with a heli command, the Bavarian Demon, as it's now called.
Did you like it?
I actually really did. It's my first experience with a bailout feature, and I was having fun with it.
Was it easy to set up and all that?
You know, I don't do real well with new. Learning new, I can do it. I'm fortunate in that I've got access to some amazing resources that are just a phone call away. I appreciate that not everybody has that.
Yeah.
But I get impatient, and I know that the people I know have the answers. So I kind of cut corners whenever I can and give a phone call and say, God, you got to help me through this. That doesn't mean it's hindsight. No, it's not that bad. It's different. It's different than anything I've ever done with the Fly Barless controller. The user interface, I think, is amazing. But that bailout feature, man, is that a good feature? That's almost fun. It's like, let me purposely put this helicopter in a compromising position just so I can hit the bailout. It's just,
yeah, I got a buddy up in Boston flying one, and he swears by that thing, and he's been flying Icon prior too.
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed it. I remember I called Justin, who is on our show as well. He's sponsored by Bavarian Demon. And mm-hmm. I called and I said, dude, this is the coolest thing ever. I was having fun with it. Will I get one? No, I don't think I will.
They are a bit pricey, right?
Well, it costs, you know, but if it saves you one crash, you've paid for it.
But, yeah, like a 700 size.
Is there any other?
Oh, that was low.
Well.
Seriously, though, one crash, it pays for itself. And here's my problem with it, and I don't know. This is just my perspective, my opinion. I worry that some people will utilize that a little too much.
You mean to rely on that bailout?
Rely on the bailout a little too much.
Yeah.
And then someday it won't be there for them.
I thought the same thing with the Icon too when I got it. But I have only ever had to use it one time. And that was it. And the only other times I've ever used it was just showing people how it works. And they're like, oh, what do you mean it's got self-level? I'm like, well, I'll pitch it up into a weird angle and flip the switch. And they're like, oh, wow, that's cool. And then that's the only time I've ever really used it. So I really don't rely on mine either. I'd probably forget about it now and just auger it in, you know?
You know,
what switch do you mix it to?
Me personally, I put it on a momentary switch.
Like, for instance, kind of like your trainer switch. You just flip it, and as soon as you let go, it's back off.
Yeah, that I just makes sense to me. However, that being said, I did get to play in the setup. I was a little backwards in the programmable mixes that I had to create for this. And the first time I flew it, I actually started flying with that uprighting stabilization system turned on. and it was like flying a quad.
Yeah.
It was very stable. I mean, I would stab the forward elevator, and I would let go, and it would go right back to level.
That's amazing.
So, I don't know. For a person that's new, a little nervous, absolutely. I think part of the problem is I've been flying without one for so long. I almost feel like I'd be buying a feature that might be fun, but I just don't know that it's something I need at this point.
Yeah.
As far as a flybarless controller, though, do you find that, you know, if you do a quick, you know, throttle pumps or anything, that you get a pitch of your tail at all?
It's all in the tuning. You can tune all that stuff out. And it depends on what kind of flybarless controller you're using.
Well, I mean, okay. I know there's some of the less expensive ones we're seeing out there. People are saying no matter what, they're, you know, either it's too hard to tune or whatever, they just cannot get rid of that. And I like to hear that the newer stuff or the, you know, the nice quality stuff, these aren't issues, you know, just to reassure other people.
Well, there's always going to be issues like that. I know I fly Skookum mainly. Skookum has mm-hmm. that issue.
Yeah.
The new firmware update apparently takes care of that.
Cyclic bobble.
Not so much the cyclic bobble, and if I understand what you're talking about, is like on 20 or 30 foot pitch pumps, when you go up, the nose goes up, the tail kind of doesn't follow. It takes time to catch up. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. And whenever you stop as well, it bounces almost. One single bounce, not like sitting pulsing, but.
Yeah, because there's a difference between the cyclic bobble and that.
I was referring to the Skookum with the cyclic bobble.
See, I've never had that online.
Really?
I got to tell you, I'm a little fortunate there as well. I mean, Nick on our show is very involved in the firmware testing of Skookum.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he pretty much gave me starting parameters that were damn near perfect right out of the box.
Wow. Yeah, that's nice. I'm still struggling getting – I've got a slight cyclic bobble still in my Goblin 500 with the 540.
And it tends to be about the 500-sized helis that tend to have that cyclic bobble. Any of the larger helis, I've had it on 640s, 700s, never really had the cyclic bobble. It was just when it was on my Protos, the swinging the 425 blades.
No, what really. What's that?
What head speed are you running on the Goblin?
What was the recommended? The
27?
2700, yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, I'm at 26 or 2700, so whatever the recommended one was for the...
My Goblin at 22.
You get the 500?
Yeah.
Wow.
But you don't need 27, dude. Come on.
No, it is.
Learn how to fly it.
It is fun, though, right?
I like that comment, Dan.
I'm not gonna kid you. It is fun. I have taken my head speed up there and have just been absolutely impressed with what that thing can do.
Yeah.
The reality of the situation is, turn that head speed down, learn how to fly the machine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, my 550, it's really low head speed on that, so...
All of my machines are low head speed.
Really?
My 700s. You know, the highest I go on any of my 700s, 1950. Generally, I'm at 1850.
Even on the nitros, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, you don't get too much bogging?
Never, you know, no, I don't bog that machine.
Can you change the gear ratio on those 700s?
You can. It's limited in as to what's available. I mean, I got heavy duty gears in. I can't remember the ratio, but it's like 112 and I hate to venture a guess, 14, I think.
Or what I should actually say is, have you changed the gear ratio on those to favor the lower RPM?
No. I run YS motors. They have a tendency to have more torque, mm-hmm. lower head speed. You know, that's their happy spot.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a modded. There's a guy out in the Seattle area that does some modding to YS motors, and he ports and polishes and, you know, does some stuff to kind of help that thing perform. And, you know, these guys are running these things at crazy head speeds. Lots of
finesse.
Cool. Wide open throttle, Tim Jones. I mean, he has to keep his machine loaded the whole flight, or else it'll destroy that motor.
That's unreal.
But that's his style. That's how he flies.
Yeah, that is cool, though.
Yeah. And lower head speed, it doesn't mean, like, once we've gone to fly wireless units, you still get your roll and flip rates that you would normally have had had to crank the head speed up on a flybarred machine to get, because you just basically tell it what, how many degrees per second, and it'll just pump as much pitch as needed to get that roll or flip rate. So, for instance, my gasser, I fly that at 1600 RPM. And tooler on the sky, there's enough power there to do climbing TikToks.
Yeah, it was. I took a Todd Bennett class, and you know, he's kind of a proponent. That's old school flying of the lower head speeds. And he tried to convince me to go no higher than 1700, 1750.
Yeah.
It's a little low. I mean,
1750 is my idle up too.
Little, you know, it's nice to have that excitement, that pop factor, but smooth is good too.
Yeah.
But you build light. Like my gasser is 11.5 pounds.
What kind of gasser do you have, by the way?
It's just the base Century Radical. G30?
G20?
Radical. There you go. I almost bought one of those once.
They're not bad. It's the part support that can be a little bit of an issue. I'm kind of lucky around here. We've got a local guy that has parts. He's just a phone call away, and he flies at the same field I do. So I just phone him up. Hey, I need this. Can I meet you? And swap over parts. And he's more than willing to do that. So that's good. And for my money, light always flies right. And all the other gassers seem to be on the heavy side. And I like having a sub-12-pound gasser.
Yeah. Yeah, I've tried the gasser thing. It was a long time ago. It was a different. It's a different game now than it was.
There's a local guy that I've flown with. He's got a Bergen, but it's pushing 16 pounds. That's a meaty heli.
I got a buddy flying a G20, and it's amazing how long those things will fly on a tank of fuel.
And the G20's got the same size tank as my G30. And from what I recall, because there's a guy I flew with that had one, he would fly for about 15 minutes on just less than half a tank.
Yeah, it's unreal. And there's no mess on the heli.
And it's cheap. You buy a gallon of fuel in it, and it gives you... So a gallon of fuel down there is what, $3.50, $4?
Yeah.
And that's going to last you 3 hours in the air?
Yeah, you can't beat that.
So, Dan, how much does your cool power cost?
$33 a gallon.
Yeah, it starts adding up, huh?
Yeah, it adds up quick. I actually have a sponsorship with Morgan Fuels, so I'm a little fortunate there.
Yeah, very, very lucky.
Especially when you're buying them by the caseload. I've heard your stories.
We're going to do some nitro this summer. There's no question.
Yeah.
You're going to have to start counting by pallets. Pallets per season.
Well, I've had 3 pallets show up this summer.
Wow. So
they weren't full pallets, but...
Back to flight times. It's with your lower head speed on your Goblin, what type of flight times are you getting?
I have the timer set at 5:30. I don't need to fly any longer than that. I've never checked.
Oh, you haven't checked your packs? How
left? I don't know. Left?
See, with my head speed, that's the other reason why I'm also thinking of coming down on my head speed, because I'm at about 4 minutes and I come down right about 28-30% left capacity on my packs.
I'm thinking at 5 minutes down at about 4. Somewhere in there.
What's that?
Mike, what voltage are you shutting them down at?
Or are you going by how much you put back in?
Yeah, I just go by the milliamps. So on the EOS Entry, I just go by percentage of what's left of the pack.
Yeah.
I don't check the voltage normally. I just worry about the percentage.
Sure.
I'll check next time and see what the volts are at.
And with that lower head speed, too, if you can keep the heli light, so you drop the head speed, drop the pack size,
Well, that Goblin's already light, as is.
What packs are you
running? Gen Z's 4400s.
I just got a couple of those the other day.
Yeah, you'll like them. I have been running them, and they're really nice.
What's the rating?
These ones are only like the 35C.
Okay.
Got a couple of the pulse packs as well.
What size did you get in the pulse packs?
45s.
Okay. Yeah, I really like pulse.
Oh boy, I should have got smaller, but.
Yeah, but they didn't have anything that, at the time when it came out, they didn't really have anything in between. There was like the 5,000s and then like something in the 4,000s or 3,800. And I was like, I don't want to go that low.
Yeah, I was – Patrick from KDE told me to get that size pack for his motor. He sent me one of his 500 series motors to try out in the Goblin. Oh. I haven't had a chance to switch it over yet. I want to get a bunch of flights on the stock motor and then do a direct comparison. But, you know, he also runs 2,900 RPMs, so.
Wow. Unreal.
See, the Quantum, right?
The KDE motor, that makes sense.
Well, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to see Patrick fly, but he's about extremes. I mean, he wants... Collective management is not in his vocabulary. I mean, the fastest... You know, just that's what it's about for him. I would probably never fly that Goblin at 2,900, even 2,800. I mean, I could, but I don't think it'd be a lot of fun.
So. That's like these guys flying these little Warp 360s. I mean, some of these guys are singing those heads like turbines on the top. And they're snappy. They look like little dragonflies flying around.
They sound like little dragonflies, too.
They do. And when they go in, they open up like a dragonfly on a windshield. Just to utilize the dragonfly. What transmitter are you running for the most part?
Oh, I only thought there was Futaba out there. Is there something else?
Oh, golly. One of the diehards. Here we go.
Somebody else make a transmitter?
Who? JR makes a pretty nice transmitter.
Makes a good one.
I actually used to use a JR. I actually loved it, the 9503.
Yeah.
I have the 11X, and I like it.
I don't like that radio at all.
Really?
It looks like hell to me.
I thought that it looked really good. That's why one of the reasons why I bought it.
Robots in disguise.
Yep.
The transformer radio. Now, I did Spectrum. Everyone started out with Spectrum, and back when I started anyway, that was the go-to radio, DX7.
DX7, yep.
Ended up getting a 9303 and a 9503, and flew that for a long time. No particular reason other than I had always wanted to try Futaba. For no particular reason. I just always wanted to try it. One day I decided, what the hell, I'm going to buy one. And never look back.
It's like heroin.
Now I've got a 8FG and a 14SG.
Nice.
Didn't you just switch over recently, too?
I think I've been with Futaba now for about a year and a half. Mm. A year.
Yeah, because I remember you talking about it on your podcast show.
Yeah, I did have to do a little... customizing.
Yeah.
It worked right for me, or the way I wanted it to work. But
and I don't get the expo is reversed and everything seems backwards on it. I haven't really flown one yet, so.
Well.
How do you mean the expo is reversed?
Well, it's tough to explain. You have to set the top end and the bottom end as well.
Oh.
It's not global. You have to go into each condition.
Wow. So it takes time, the initial setup.
The first time you do it.
Yeah, until you learn your curve, yeah.
In another minute or so. But, you know, the thing about it is, and Spectrum's catching up. Their new radio, what the hell is it, the 9?
The 9X?
Yeah. I haven't even seen one of those yet.
I have.
They're starting to understand. Look, when it boils right down to it, you cannot beat the DX8's simplicity.
Yeah.
No.
Very user-friendly radio. But with that comes some limitations. And there's nothing wrong with that because they're well thought out and pretty much those limitations don't matter to a lot of people because they're like, why do I care? Because it's set up already. Everything's – but if you want to do something – if I wanted a switch to control the gimbals on my Futaba, I could.
Yeah.
That's how versatile it is. Any switch I can make do anything within that radio.
Yeah, that's fully soft and fully assignable. That's great.
Everything. And with that complexity comes a steeper learning curve. You know, it's definitely not one that you can just pick up. You're gonna have to read the manual on this one, guys.
It's like trying to learn ER9X for these open source radios.
Yeah. One thing here's what I found too is, let's say you set up your new helicopter in the spring. You fly it all year. And next spring, you buy another one. And you've learned how to channel map. Let's say if you're still flying a Beast X with a three-channel S-Bus receiver, it requires you to do some channel mapping because it doesn't flow straight across like it would with like a seven-channel receiver. And you have to learn how to relearn how to do all that shit. And that's a little cumbersome at times, but if I don't do that programming consistently, I quickly forget how to do it.
Right.
But when it comes to like basic radio setup, I don't have a problem with that. I can do it fairly quickly.
Yeah. Cool. What's your quick grabber of the day helicopter, the one you always grab when you're going out the door?
700 Nitro.
No doubt.
I love that machine. I got two of them.
I thought you were going to say something small and quick.
I don't fly small helicopters.
That's great.
So the Goblin 500 is your smallest.
Well, that's not completely true. I do have a 130X.
Oh, you do? I thought you hated micros.
I do. I don't ever fly it.
It looks nice on his desk.
I'll take it.
I've had a couple of Line 450s. Very briefly. I had an Align 500 for a while, which is a fantastic machine, by the way. I fly a 500 quite a bit, a friend of mine's, but no, I don't quickly grab any small heli and go. I quickly grab a big one and go. I've got two Nitros that have been flown to death. Gallons and gallons and gallons of fuel.
Fantastic.
But the 500, the Goblin, has kind of taken it's earning a spot. In other words, that's the helicopter I take to work.
Yeah. It flies really well, doesn't it?
It is a fantastic machine. I mean, I am thoroughly impressed with it. It handles really well. The only thing I don't like about it, and I don't know if I can fix this by having a custom canopy made. Mm-hmm. I've got the yellow and black one, and I've flown the red and black one. When you get to flying quickly and you start doing maneuvers that we are constantly turning the helicopter over or, you know, flipping fast or rolling fast,
yeah,
starts to run together the colors.
Yes.
The yellow and the yellow boom. It starts to run together. I don't particularly care for that. I wish they had more of a contrasting and cool looking paint scheme that had, a canopy that was differently colored than the boom. I don't, I know you can get that done customly, I'm sure, but
yeah, Cano mod.
Yeah, but Cano mod, yeah. Angry Birds.
Yeah, and I do agree. I have the yellow and black one as well, and especially like on cloudy days and stuff, it disappears really fast.
Especially disappears when you start flying nose in, like when you start coming at yourself nose in.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there's not much to look at.
Yeah. But and how that boom is really nice as a visual, right?
Yeah, if you're flying slow and controlled, but when you start trying to do you know, some really fast flybys that include some flipping and rolling, and it starts to run together for me. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I don't lose orientation, and it doesn't freak me out, but I would see where maybe a newer pilot might struggle with that a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's a great heli, though. There's no question. I don't think that anybody that bought one would be disappointed in it.
No.
Unless you wanted to be disappointed in it because you were a Goblin hater for whatever reason.
Hey, now, they're out there.
Weren't you a Goblin hater just by the looks of it?
Pretty much hate every helicopter equally.
Yeah. So are the looks growing on you then?
I've never cared for the looks. Still don't.
Still don't?
I love how they took that design and made it work.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And on the bench, that yellow and white one, or yellow and, yeah, the, or the red and white one, man, that looks really good. Hated it in the air. Could barely see that in the air. Hated it. But on the bench, it looked really cool.
So the red and white was harder to see.
Oh, absolutely. For me, absolutely.
Huh. Because I have thought about, you know, like going back to the cloudy days with mine and it disappearing. I've thought about going to the red and white.
Yeah, I didn't care for that at all. The yellow is kind of, especially if there's any glimpse of a sun, whether it's behind the clouds or not, that neon yellowish reflective nature of that paint job is very visible.
Yeah.
The red soaks it up, especially on cloudy days. Turns to black.
What have you found to be like your all-time favorite color for the sake of orientation?
I actually have a regular canopy that I buy for all of my lines, 600s, 500s, and 700s. I don't have any 500s currently, but and the canopy is the same for every one of them in all my spares, and it has mostly yellow, mostly orange, and a teeny bit of blue.
Okay.
Those, the yellow and the orange are my best color. Blue, I can do blue. Red isn't a very good color for me. If you can mix a red and a blue, it's worse. Although currently I'm flying a red and a blue canopy.
Isn't that just purple? If you mix red and blue?
It just turns, if it's a really bright day, it's not a big deal, but
Evercast.
But you know, I'm noticing as I'm getting better, that doesn't bother me as much.
Yeah.
In fact, I find that I'm flying without canopies more and more. Yeah. I never thought that would ever happen because I was so uncomfortable flying without a canopy. It doesn't seem to bother me as much anymore.
Do you ever run the colored tail blades like the KBDDs or anything like that?
Not on purpose. I mean, I don't go out and search a particular color.
Right.
I just have to like the way they perform. And I think they perform adequately enough that it doesn't justify a $30 set of carbon tailblades.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't have a preference what color they are. Okay. Whatever's in stock. I used to be really adamant about orange tailblades because I was like, man, I can see that tailblade, but I don't really look at the tail anymore.
Yeah. Do you start to fly the disc more now?
That's all I look at.
Yeah, same here.
I don't look. Doesn't concern me what the canopy's doing, except when I'm flipping fast, those types of maneuvers. I need to be able to distinguish between the tail and the canopy, but for the most part, it's all about what the disc is doing.
I built a 600 for a guy out of Illinois, and an Align 600. And took the tail boom and stripped it down and polished it up, mirror finish. And the gentleman said, it was a sunny day, of course, when it was very reflective then. He said it actually, when he was pirouetting, he said once in a while, he said he noticed that aside from, you know, looking at the disc, he said he would notice that that was giving him some level of reference above and beyond just the canopy.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I've seen guys go to the extremes with what they do to their tail booms. Wrapping them in, you know, like a bright orange vinyl. I don't know. I just never I don't particularly like the way that makes your alley look. But
yeah.
I saw a guy that had a I've seen him several times. He's been to a few fun flies that I've been to. I haven't seen him for a while. He had like a vinyl diamond plate, like silver diamond plate wrap.
Oh, my.
I don't know.
I bet that was heavy. It helped.
It helped, but, you know, I don't know. I don't. The idea of putting a bunch of vinyl on my tail boom doesn't appeal to me either. You know, to each their own. Whatever it takes.
That's right. The beauty of the sport.
Yeah, I like to keep my helis pretty stock. I don't do a lot of the that stuff to it. I want to be able to sort of fix shit cheaply and quickly.
Yep.
What about night flying? Do you do any night flying, LEDs, anything?
No, I never have done that. I've thought about turning I've got a 600 Nitro that I never fly anymore. And I've thought about turning that one into some type of a night ship. But I struggle enough in the daytime. I can't imagine adding the extra element of darkness.
Mm-hmm. Well, I went to IRCHA and I saw some of these helis, these 700s, you know, just ridiculous size helis for me because I've never seen anything in person like that. But these guys are flying these things all lit up with LEDs and, like, you don't even have to worry about not seeing the ground. They're so bright.
Yeah.
Especially the nitro ones, when, you know, the glow ones that put out all that smoke. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like a big floating orb of just LEDs.
Yeah. For the first time this year at our fun fly, we had up in Deer Park, Washington, just north of Spokane. I flew under construction lights for the first time ever. That was a very unique experience. You don't realize how fast your heli is until you're in a very limited field of view.
Oh, they were stationary. They weren't that guys like trying to keep them pointed at the right.
Yeah, these were these big flood towers with like the three big ass, you know, lights that were powered by
a thousand waters or whatever.
Yeah, I mean they lit the field up real nice, but still wasn't that hard.
Dead spots everywhere.
Yeah. It wasn't hard to fly out of the.
I heard your fun fly was a good success for your first one.
Yeah, it turned out really well, man. We had a great time. We had a lot of friends show up, a lot of new friends show up. We had some listeners from very far away show up that were it's kind of fun to go to an event like that. And not just ours, but other events that we've gone to and just, you know, people just they feel like they know you, like they're your friends and
yeah.
And they are.
We know everything about you because we hear about it every week.
And it's kind of a strange. Actually, a guy from Los Angeles was up, and Anton, I believe it was his name, but he, we got to talking, and I started in on a story, and he finished it for me. I'm like, oh, I mean, you know, I forget about that. You forget about that. Pretty much everything we do, everybody knows about. So you start feeling like an ass when you start repeating yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, I wanted to make it so bad. We were so busy at work, and I had just changed over to a night crew, and
yeah,
it just couldn't work out. But next year, for sure, if you guys do it next year, I'll be there. I definitely want to come.
Better next year. I mean, we've got some big plans.
Awesome.
You know, we've got a lot of support in the hobby, and we've got some people that really want to make some things happen. And, you know, it's just a fun event that is all about everybody, the regular Joes.
Yeah.
It's fun to have the pros there. It's fun to watch them just throw down, but it's also fun to watch a guy who's never flown in front of more than a few people have the guts to stand up on the flight line and hover because that's all he can do. And just like, dude, that was fantastic. Great. You know, great job. And just that encouragement, that enthusiasm, and just sharing the hobby with everybody, regardless of the skill level.
Camaraderie.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Now I remember you guys talking on the show, like the funnest part for you guys was the, you know, tipping over the bottles.
Oh, dude, that was what a fun event. And I've done that before. And I actually learned about that event at the HeliPros Fun Fly I'm sure they didn't think of it. I'm sure somebody has done it before, but what a fantastic way to get your more accomplished pilots, your brand new pilots, to compete in one event where it levels the playing field, because, you know, that's hard to do. I don't know if any of you have tried that.
I have.
But the better you are, the better pilot you are, it's almost the worst you're going to do, because you just this is going to be a breeze. It's going to be super easy. Well, it's not. The guys that are learning to hover, who are used to flying the heli in that very controlled small space, they tend to do really well. Whereas the guys who just kind of go knocking over some bottles, sure, you know, and they zip right past one and they got so much momentum, helicopter passes the bottle up by 30 feet. They got to get back there. You know? And, you know,
what size bottles?
I think they're like those 10 or 12 ounce water bottles. But here's the trick for those of you who want to do that. Go when you find the bottle, when you're looking for the bottles, go for the cheapest, like Western Family. Don't go for the good bottles, like the brand name bottles that have the nice sturdy bottles. Go for the ones that, you know what I'm talking about. Super.
And there's the one you get at Lowe's or something.
Exactly. Cheapest water bottles you can find. The reason is because typically when the tail blades strike it, all it does is break the bottle. It doesn't do anything to the helicopter. It's not a guarantee, but it really, we were surprised at how well the helis would hold up to tail blades. Or, you know, when the bottle would get ripped, knocked down, but the wouldn't do anything to the heli.
I'm going to try it with a MCPX brushless.
And a pill bottle.
You might want to get some speed up for that one.
Have you not seen my two noobs in a blender video I just made?
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Stupid helicopters. I'll figure it out one day.
Are you guys putting water in these bottles as well? Blowing away?
A little bit. We found that to work really well. Initially what we did is just fill, like, I don't know, maybe an inch of sand in the bottom just to give it some weight so it doesn't tip over from the rotor wash. Mm-hmm. But we found too that if you let them stay, like, I don't know, a quarter or a third full, they will hold up as well, but they'll stand up. But the problem with that is the first time a blade hits it, all the water is gone, whereas the sand will stay in there. No, but it was a lot of fun. We had several events designed for new folks and a couple for the more advanced, and went over real well. We had some awesome pro pilot attendance and just a lot of good guys from all over that just came and had a great time. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm definitely planning to make it next year. So I take it you're not doing the Heli Freak Fun Fly.
I'd gladly go. Absolutely. It's just in California. It's too damn far away. If it were closer, I'd go. Sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely contemplating that one. If I can, a few of us here at our local field are thinking about it, going, so we might carpool.
Yeah, we, you know, I would love to go. I don't know how well I would be received there, but I don't think it would matter because, you know, there's a lot of folks that go there, and I'm sure there's a few people there that I get along with.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you have your issues with Heli Freak. I just don't know to the extent.
Let me correct you on that. I don't have any issues with Heli Freak, and Heli Freak doesn't have any issues with me. There are certain people that have issues with me, but I don't have issues with them. So there's a – dude, Heli Freak is loaded with fantastic people that are just will bend over backwards to help you.
Yes.
And it's a fantastic resource. And I've just been uninvited. So I'm unable to participate in that conversation. So,
well, they throw one hell of a party.
I can imagine.
Yes, they do.
They had these like rum balls that were literally, it's like basically just solidified warm rum.
Yeah, that would be fun. Someday We'll see.
Fires and helicopters, and like 3 billion customized like golf carts. It was unbelievable.
This is probably Tony Whiteside.
I don't know who it was. Then I ate one rum ball and I was gagging for 30 minutes.
Were you drunk afterwards?
No. Not at all. Gagging. Close.
Not even buzzed?
Just because it was so loaded with alcohol? Or?
Oh, yeah. It was. You couldn't even taste like any of the food products. It was just straight rum and powdered sugar.
Nice.
It was, oh my God. I ate one and I was just like, I've never had rum hurt my throat before.
Yeah, it'll do it to you.
Nice.
At the Fun Flies we go to up here, we have a hot apple pie that runs around.
Yeah, I heard about that on your, what exactly is that on your?
You know, I think it's some family secret recipe that's been handed down. I don't know. It's there's a guy that comes to a lot of the Northwest Fun Flies, name's Phil. And he brings this with him every time. And here's, to the best of my ability, I'll describe it. I don't know the specifics on how it's done, but I know it involves Everclear pears, chunks of pears, a process by which you cook maybe some vodka and some apple juice and some pears. And then you let this cool, and then you add Everclear and maybe a little more apple juice.
What the heck?
And it actually takes a while to make.
The labor of love.
Does it come in a mason jar?
It comes in generally an apple juice jug.
Ah.
They repurpose the apple juice jug. But let me tell you, this stuff is so good. It's like you cannot taste the alcohol. The first time I fell victim to it, it was at Othello, Washington, I think a year and a half or so ago. And, you know, we were recording a show, and it was making its way around. And it's so good, you just like, I'll have another glass of that, sure. And then, you know, hey, I'll have another glass. And then all of a sudden, it's over.
It's one of those deals where one glass has the ability to dictate the quality of your evening.
It's just you're drunk dialing, you're singing.
Good time.
Oh, great. We don't need Dwayne to get any of that.
No kidding. He does that sober.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
It makes it okay when you say that.
So do they have like a no smoking around this stuff? Because it sounds pretty flammable.
They all do. I mean, those guys that smoke. But I can tell you that it's inevitable. If you guys make it to one of our fun flies or a Northwest fun fly, you will see it happens every time. You will see somebody who's never experienced it fall victim to it.
All right. Well, I'll come up and I'll be the guinea pig.
I tell you,
where are you out of, Dan?
Missoula, Montana. Well, south of Missoula, a little town south of Missoula.
It's not Bonner, is it?
No, that's actually a little north west of Missoula, but I'm a little further away. I'm 40 miles south.
Oh, okay. I grew up in Great Falls.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I used to go out there. I got family that lives out near Great Falls. I used to go out that way all the time. You go through Bonner to get there.
Yeah. Yep. We always used to call it something else, but yeah, that's the gist of it.
Yeah.
Everybody.
It's one of the armpits of Great Falls and Billings, too, the two armpits of Montana.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you the story real quick. When you know, I think it's Highway 200 to get to Missoula from Great Falls, like it's Highway something like that.
It is 200.
You get off of 200, you go through Bonner, and then you get off. Like I want to say it's like exit 3 or 30 or something like that. But in Missoula, there's like you get off the exit and there's a tunnel. You go like down and it goes over I think it's an overpass. But there's a tunnel and you can't.
The tunnel goes underneath the railroad tracks, the orange
street. Yeah, that's what it is. I got into a head-on collision at that intersection.
Very nice.
With a drunk guy.
And a cow.
Well, we knew he was drunk because he got out and started throwing beer bottles at us.
Nice.
Yeah, that's not a good place to get into an accident.
No. And the guy was cooking. He was coming up from under the tunnel, and I was turning left at that intersection right before it.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it's kind of a blind spot anyways. And just, yeah, bam.
I don't ever go to that part of town.
I heard it's a great part of town.
No, it is, but it's just too congested. Nowadays, I don't know how long it's been since you've been down there, but we've got Reserve Street on the edge of town that kind of just shoots straight up to the interstate. So we don't have to go through the whole downtown area anymore. But
no, it's been since 2002.
Oh, yeah, you've seen Reserve Street was there when you were there. But when I was a kid, I grew up that didn't exist. Well, Reserve Street existed, but there were no overpasses over the railroad tracks. Now there is. So you can get to the interstate.
Nice. So did anybody else have any other questions for Dan? We're running on time.
Nope, I'm good.
You got any other ventures you're working on, Dan?
We always have shit we're working on at RC Alienation. Right now, the big push is Justin and Nick, or Jesse and Nick, are looking at doing some type of flight school. They've been asked to, and of course, they're working hard on that. Reviews in the works. They sent us a 700X review.
I was getting ready to ask you about that.
Yeah, are you going to get a chance to fly that thing?
Eventually I will. Not anytime soon, because we're pretty much done with fun flies up here.
Yeah.
So probably won't even get a chance to see Nick again until next spring. Sure, I'll get my hands on it then. By then, I'm actually thinking I might actually get one if the review turns out favorable.
Yeah,
I've seen it in person.
What do you think?
I just think, because I went up, talked to Gina Tucker when we were at IRCHA. I talked to a lot of people at IRCHA, but talked to Gina Tucker. She gave me the rundown, because I'm fairly new to the heli world, on like some things to look for. Plus, she deals with the TSA models stuff a lot. And we went and looked at the 700X, and she was kind of like blown away by like the quality, and you know, just down to like the thickness of the frame, the everything just was set up really nice.
I don't know the specifics yet, because you know, Nick likes to really be thorough and not try to give us his early notions until he's had a chance. I mean, he's mentioned a few things. Overall, though, I think he's pretty happy with what he's got. I don't know the specifics of his review yet. I think today was the first day he actually got some flights on it. I haven't heard from him today yet.
Yeah, I saw his post on the Facebook.
Yeah.
They crash really well.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been, you know, I can't say right off the top of my head, but I know that I saw it fly in competition at IRCHA, and the thing was holding its own, we'll put it that way.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it'll hold up. I'm sure it'll hold up. You know, they put a lot of time and effort into this, and they got some good people working on it, so we'll see. But got some KDE stuff coming down the line here pretty soon. I got some KDE upgrades that Patrick sent to me to take a look at, in particular the motor and a few other little things that he has made for it. And, you know, we're always working on the next big project. As far
really
as
got a good thing going on over there.
Well, it's a lot of work. Our biggest project that we're working on right now is the live production. We want to take that a little more serious, get better at that. Not real happy with the production quality of the live shows, but that takes time.
I thought they were good. I mean, it kind of, you know, since I wasn't able to go out there, I listened, and you know, it kind of made me feel like I was there and could be a part of it. You could hear the stuff going on in the background and people, you know, I don't know. It sounded pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, they don't sound bad, and I'm certainly not a professional at this stuff, but I do think it could be better. And I'm talking not necessarily from a content perspective,
mm-hmm.
From a production perspective. I mean, how to get the most out of the sound, how to manipulate the environment, to get consistency and make it so it's something that is pleasurable to not only hear but listen to. I mean, there's a difference between hearing something and listening to something.
Yeah.
And you got to enjoy both aspects of that. You know,
definitely.
When you listen to it, you you're enjoying the concept. When you hear it, you're hearing the production. And to enjoy both, it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. But, you know, that's what we do. It's a second hobby, really, is what it boils down to. As you guys, I'm sure, are finding out, there's a lot to doing what we do that people just, man, you just don't understand until you try it.
Yeah, I didn't understand what I was getting into until I started doing it. And
well, you never really do. It quickly turns from the excitement of doing a show to the realization of, oh my God, I got to do a show.
Yep. And I still love every minute of it, though. I mean, there are times where it's like, I'm not in the mood, but you know, you still got to do it. And there's still some people out there that really, you know, especially with your show, they really look forward to seeing it. I don't know about ours because it's so new still, but I know I'm sure with you guys, everybody's like waiting for that next show.
Yeah, I mean, we get requests all the time to do multiple shows a week.
Really?
That would be something I would definitely love to do, but yeah. It would have to be something that I made a living on, and
yeah,
that changes the dynamic of what you're doing. When you start counting on something to feed your family or pay your mortgage, the dynamic changes. And we do this because we love it.
Mm-hmm.
Much like you guys are doing it because you love it. And if you do it because you count on it, you have to be a little more careful. You know, you can't just lay it out on the line and say it like it is or how you think it is.
Well, plus you might lose some of the quality too in certain aspects. You know, it's a must do instead of a want to do.
But, you know, and that's one big issue, and I don't want to take up a bunch of time here, but, you know, the thing is, there's some – I've gotten in trouble with, you know, show sponsors. Get emails like, why did you guys do that, or why did you guys say that? Well, everybody's open target. There are no limitations.
That gives you validity, though.
If you do something, say something, or, you know, make yourself available to be talked about, it doesn't matter whether or not you're a sponsor or not. That's what you signed up for. So
that's right.
You know,
well, case in point, some of the most famous people that do a show, you guys are familiar with Flight Test.
Definitely. Josh.
They did a review on the Micro Aces airplanes, those little foam like profile warbirds.
Yeah.
And they said something, and it pissed off the manufacturer of the Micro Aces so much that they actually posted their own video review, and it went back and forth a couple times.
Yeah, it can be a sticky situation, but the simple matter of the fact, what it boils down to, as much as I respect and am appreciative to those people that have chosen to sponsor our show or help us, we can do the show without them.
Oh yeah,
you know, we can continue on. We choose very selectively those people who we are affiliated with, and there's a reason for that. It's because they do something that we think is amazing, you know, in one way, shape, or another, whether it's a retailer or a manufacturer.
That's just it. Their goal should be to deliver a service or a product that is, you know, worthy of not requiring sponsorship just to get a good pat on the back, you know, to get their name out there.
Yeah, and they appreciate that, I think, for the most part. I mean, I've gotten a couple emails, like I've said, but, you know, it's smoothed over very quickly. It's just, I don't know what to tell you guys, you know, this is what you signed up for. But, you know, it's part of the whole, it's part of the package. You know, we represent, you know, we're not about the pro pilots. You know, we say it all the time on our show, we are the 99%. Kind of stole that here as of, I guess, in the politics. I guess you guys have heard that term here in the last couple of years. Well, we kind of co-opted that phrase because that's what RC Heli Nation is. RC Heli Nation is a nation of enthusiasts. And that's all we care about. We care about everybody who wants to pick up the sticks and fly a helicopter. And we want to help them do it. And we want them to have fun learning how to do it. And we want them to poke fun of people that do stupid shit right alongside us. And that we want them to poke fun at us when we do stupid shit.
Exactly.
Well, we definitely got that going.
Exactly. Lord knows we do.
my thing is we just need an airplane only one because I'm so sick of blender talk. I really am.
Okay, bye.
What's a blender? I don't understand. What's a blender? I've not heard this term.
Ask Mike. He's Blender Boy.
Blender Boy? What is this?
It's some planker started calling me Blender Boy. Because he thinks that a helicopter is a blender. That's the best that these plankers can do for names.
You guys just run big rotor blades because you've got rotor envy.
That's what it is.
It has to be. I fly airplanes because I just don't have the eyesight nor the ability to fly helis.
Yeah, we saw by your video.
Hey.
I got to tell you guys, before we go, I'm going to tell you a story about a guy I met at our fun. Actually, I've known him for a while. His name is George. He hangs out in the Washington area. I don't know if he's specifically – I think he's from the Othello area. He might be down from the Tri-Cities area. He hangs out with a couple of the guys over there that are pretty high profile in the hobby. And he's in his late 80s, and he just started flying helicopters. And he does amazing. Don't ever tell
him. How old?
He's in his late 80s.
Damn.
His name is George, and he is – a competent pilot that enjoys the hobby thoroughly. You're never too old. Your eyesight's never too bad, unless you're blind, of course. But,
or have Parkinson's.
Or, you know, some kind of extenuating circumstances that's a little obvious that you shouldn't be flying helicopters. It's a fantastic hobby, young and old.
That's amazing. I would love to see that.
And, you know, the thing of it is, too, it doesn't matter if you're flying a plane, if you're flying a heli, if you're flying a glider, if you're flying a free flight, if you're flying whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, you're part of an amazing hobby.
Yep.
And, you know, we love the hobby. It's fun to make fun of those who fly things different. And for the most part, it's tongue in cheek.
Yep.
Simpy.
Yep. Except for those damn quad flyers. They're the pain of my existence.
Yeah, they don't even have to fly them. All they got to do is push a button and the damn thing does everything for them. So.
Well, guys, it's been a lot of fun. I appreciate you asking me to come on and, you know, congratulations on your show. By the way, I don't know if you guys have ever heard the statistic, but if you can make it to 20 episodes, your longevity is pretty much secured. Have you guys ever heard that before when it comes to podcasting?
No, I haven't.
That's the end of the honeymoon phase. That's the end of the first few, you know, that's when you start realizing the work that's involved and you're still doing it. Once you make it to 20, you know, you've got a good thing going. So keep up.
So what I hear is if you're going to do a podcast, record the first 20 of your episodes on the same day and you're guaranteed.
Well, you're guaranteed to never do it again if you try to record 20 episodes.
can you imagine how sick of each other we'd be?
We need to do like a 24-hour marathon. Oh,
no, man. We don't.
we've done recordings, not back-to-back, but like do a recording on a Friday and do another one on a Monday for special reasons. We're going to be gone, whatever. That's tough to do because you know, the nice thing, the one thing that makes it fun for us is to be able to tell our listeners what we've been doing. I mean, you know, that's a big part of our show. And a lot of people are interested. And when you've only given yourself a couple days, you know, sometimes we don't do a lot in a couple days. But,
we're boring.
You know, we are pretty boring individuals when it comes right down to it. But
R is going to be the first RC show to go international, so.
Too late. We already beat you there, dude.
No, permanent.
Permanent? What do you mean permanent?
I'm leaving in March.
April. Oh my God, you guys are going to be, dude. You know what? We've done that too. I had Callum Vickers was on our show for 15 episodes.
That's cool.
I'm from Canada.
He's from the UK.
Well, that's like northern north. That's like northern US though.
Oh yeah.
Canada doesn't count.
Yeah.
I'll be in Korea, so.
Oh, no kidding. So.
Oh, I feel for you.
That'd be my second time.
That's gonna be. Oh, you're military, I take it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One time too many.
My brother's been deployed to Afghanistan now. This will be his fourth time there.
Oh, what's he do?
He's an officer in the Army.
Oh, okay.
So he's a lifer.
By virtue of job.
He's perfect for it.
That says a lot about a person.
Well, unfortunately, you're right, it does. I mean, but he settled right into that lifestyle, and it's perfect for his mentality.
And I'm not saying either way, because it could go both ways, good and bad, but it is. If you say that, that sums a person up right then and there.
Yeah, it does. It sure does.
Cool. Well, I don't want to hold you too much longer. I keep running my mouth at the last minute.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Dan. I appreciate it. And you know, it was good having you on, getting to know you a little bit more. A little bit more personal than, you know, your show, than what we hear from, you know, you on RC Haley Nation.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was fun.
Thanks, Dan.
All righty, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you very much for tuning into this week's episode of RC Hangar Time. Remember to help spread the word. You can find us on the web at www.rchangertime.com or just do a Facebook search for RC Hangar Time. We enjoyed having you. We just hope you enjoyed being had. And remember, have fun, be safe out there. We look forward to seeing you again next week.